Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
So I heard a story about this little girl. She was about 7 years old, about 8 years old, something like that. She had the inevitable question. And she went up to her mother. She said, "Mommy, where do I come from?" How do you answer that, right? So she said, "Well, honey, long ago, God created Adam and Eve and the heavens and the earth. And then they had children. And finally, after generations, you came to be." Well, she wasn't real happy with that answer. So she went over to the other room where her dad was. She goes, "Daddy, where did I come from?" And the father had a totally different answer. He said, "Honey, long ago there was a big explosion. Things evolved. And finally, after years, stuff crawled out of the sea. And then things evolved even more. And then finally, apes and monkeys and chimpanzees came. Then they had children and you came to be." Well, she wasn't real happy with that either. She went back to her mother and said, "Mommy, I don't get this. You said we came from God and Adam and Eve, and Daddy says we come from monkeys. Which is it?" And the mother said, "Well, honey, that's simple. I was talking about my side of the family, and he was talking about..." It's the in-laws in the back there, I see. So, you know, there's going to be some priests here tonight. One of my brother priests, a passionist from St. Paul's Retreat Center, is here, plus your pastor and a couple other priests. Just in case any of you are so moved by my sermon, you might want to go to confession. I'm hoping that some of you will be. But I heard about this story about this man. He was touched. You know, you heard a missionary preach the sermon. He was so touched by it, he said, "I got to go to confession. It's been 25 years, but I'm going." So he goes in the confessional. He could hardly believe his eyes. He looked in there. There was a high-definition TV, big screen. There was a wet bar. And there were cigars on the wall. And then Father came in. He goes, "Father." He said, "I haven't been to confession in 25 years. Things have really changed." The priest said, "My son, get out. You've made a mistake. You're on my side of the confessional." Not like that in here, but so you know what the RCIA program is, don't you? RCIA is called Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. Those are people who are joining the church. Some are coming from other denominations. Some had been Catholic but fell away, now they're coming back in. Some had no religion at all, and they're joining. So, you know, they don't all know people from other denominations. They're not familiar with the Catholic lingo, per se. The terminology we have as Catholics, stuff that we're used to, they don't always understand. Like this man who was in the RCIA program. He's going to go to confession for the first time, but he didn't know all the lingo. But he goes into the confessional. He learned about this. "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." My first confession. He goes, "Yes, my son, what have you done?" He said, "Father, I've stole some wood." He goes, "Oh, yeah, how much wood did you steal?" He goes, "Enough to build a doghouse." He goes, "A doghouse, okay, that's not too bad." He goes, "Wait, hold it, Father, come on, there's more." He goes, "What more?" He goes, "I stole enough wood to build a garage, a two-car garage." He goes, "A two-car garage, well, that's getting more serious." He goes, "Hold it, Father, there's more. I stole enough wood to build a four-bedroom house." The priest said, "A four-bedroom house, that's really serious. You're going to have to make a novena." The man goes, "I don't know what a novena is, Father, but if you got the plans, I got the lumber." So, let me see. There was a secretary one time. She was in the office, and she gets this phone call. And the man's really good. He goes, "I want to talk to the hedgehog at the trough." She She goes, "Sir, I don't think Monsignor would appreciate being called the head hog at the truck." He goes, "Oh yeah? I wanted to donate $10,000 to your church." She goes, "$10,000? Hold on a minute, Porky just walked in." Okay, now for the Tonight Show. Here we go. So let me tell you a few things. My whole plan here, last night I talked to you about passion. There's three, God revealed this to me. I was telling the folks this morning in some of the touches that I've had from God. God revealed to me that there's three main areas in your life that you have to focus on. And if you can do that well, you'll be ready to go before God when it's over. And the three main areas are this. Number one, passion, realizing your potential, becoming all that you can be. I talked to you about that last night. Number two, a personal relationship with God, your prayer life, growth in your spirituality. Actually, that should be number one. And I'm going to talk about that tomorrow night when I talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just being filled, but I believe that when you come tomorrow night, expect to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, let's do this now, and I want you to be saying, praying this all day tomorrow. Say after me, "Come, Holy Spirit."
Come, Holy Spirit.
Tomorrow, all day, whether you come to Mass tomorrow morning or not, be praying that prayer after me. Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
And I believe that when you come here tomorrow night, as I proclaim the Holy Spirit, you are going to experience the Holy Spirit in a way that you never have before. See, God has invited us to be a people of passion, invited us to know God in a personal way, and then here's the third area, and this is revealed to me. God wants us to grow. He wants us to change. He wants us to avoid vice and embrace virtue. Virtue being courage, love, and compassion. And a lot of people said, as I said on Sunday, they get stuck in different areas. Well, I'm praying tonight that you will realize that you are free and that you can move and you can grow and change. I was watching the leaves today as the wind hits it. Many of the leaves are changing and they're falling. And as I said, if leaves can change, people can change. And so, again, the three areas really quickly, I'll put them in order of importance. Number one, your relationship with God. Number two, changing as a person. Number three, passion, realizing your potential. These are the three areas that you should be focusing on in your spiritual life. Your relationship with God, growing, and realizing your potential. So this is what God has revealed to me. This is what I'm going to be sharing with you. We talked about passion last night. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit tomorrow night. Let's talk about change tonight. Just want you to know, when it comes to change, I've written a couple books, of course. Many of you have been buying them. Thank you. One is called You Can Change, and it has the leaves on the front, the colorful leaves. And then The Sacred Walk also has colorful leaves. This picture was taken up in northern Michigan. Looks like New England, but northern Michigan has amazing color too. Up in Harrisville, if you know where Harrisville is, they've asked me to go up there and preach. So anyway, these two books will help you with this process of change and growing. So I want you to know, you know, I won't be giving any closing announcements at the end tonight because we're going to break into confessions right when I finish my talk. Most of you will leave, some will go to confession. So I just wanted to let you know, 9 o'clock Mass tomorrow morning, I'll talk about prayer. It's the feast day of St. Teresa of Avila. In the booklets I've been giving you, The Word Among Us, they have big articles about her. I hope you'll read them. St. Teresa of Avila, Doctor of the Church, a saint, you know, canonized, and a wonderful woman of prayer. So check that out. So 9 o'clock in the morning. Then 7 o'clock at night is going to be Mass. It's not Mass tonight. It wasn't Mass last night. But I'd love to end with a Mass of the Holy Spirit. We'll be praying for the hope. What are you going to be praying tomorrow? We're going to be praying, and after you've been praying that all day, get ready for Pentecost. I mean, good things are going to happen tomorrow night. We want you here. Bring the young people here tomorrow night, especially those who maybe have fallen away or they don't know who God is. Bring them here, because the Holy Spirit's going to move in our midst and touch everybody. And I'm going to share some stories. So, basically, the Mass tomorrow night will be at 7 o'clock. Now, you can go to both Masses. You can receive communion in the morning. You can receive communion in the evening. It's okay during a retreat, during a mission. And then just to let you know, I'm going to take a collection. I think you all got an envelope. Most of you did. If you didn't, they're at the doors or on the way out. I have to support my religious community. I live in Houston, as you know. We're called Passionists. We also have the retreat center there on 96th and Telegraph, St. Paul's Retreat Center. We're all around the country. But we profess the vow of poverty, so the only way we get money to support our community is by your generous offering. So I'm going to take one collection during the mission, in the morning, in the evening, tomorrow, just give one time, whether you're coming morning or evening, and you make the checks out for the Passionist community. So may I thank you in advance, 100% of that money is going to go to my community, and I thank you in advance for your generosity. And you're probably thinking, well, how much should I donate to something like this? Well, I hope you'll really consider the preaching and what this is and what it means to you, and then you'll be very generous. But let me just put it to you this way. I heard a story about this $1 bill and $20 bill, and they were all kind of faded and crumpled, and they were at the end of their life, and they were at the paper shredder. They were about to be shredded to bits. And so they had a conversation, and the 20 and the 1, they looked at each other, and the 1 says, hey, before we die, what's your life been like? And the $20 bill said, my life? Fantastic. I've been on the best cruises, the most opulent casinos, the most wonderful golf courses all around the country. My life has been amazing. And he looked at the one and said, so how's your life been? And the $1 bill says, my life? It's been boring. All I've done is go from church to church to church. So there you go. Those are my announcements. So I'm ready to start preaching here, but we want to have one more song. Thanks again for coming. I know it's dark and rainy out there, and when I dismiss you later on, you can either go to confession or head home, and we hope to see you in the morning. Remember, now tomorrow, all day long, you're going to be praying. Oh, very good. Now you do that. You watch what happens. So everybody stand. Let's sing our second song.
Number 777.
I'm
Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus then said to the Jews, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And they answered him, "We're descendants of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" And Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. A slave doesn't remain in the household forever, but the son, the child, always remains. So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Let's talk about that. I want there to be freedom in the house here tonight. This is all about change. It's all about growth. It's all about going forward. And it's all about leaving some things behind. I absolutely love animals, but I have to tell you something. I hate going to a pet store. And you know why I hate going to a pet store? Because in a pet store, you will see animals that are caged up. You see little kitty cats in a little cage, and birds, and fish in an aquarium and everything. And I hate to see that because birds were meant to fly. And cats and dogs were meant to roam and to run. And fish were meant to swim anywhere that they want to go. And I hate to see caged animals. I don't know if years ago you saw that movie Born Free about that little lion. And it was born to be free. We are born to be free. If animals are born to be free, how much more are we born to be free? God gave us free will after all. That was his first gift to us, freedom, free will. And yet, people, place after place that I go, I meet people that are in cages. Maybe not literal cages, but cages that they put around their own life. For example, people that are addicted, they feel like they just can't break free. Could be to alcohol or to drugs. Could be to shopping or gambling. Could be to sex, whatever it is. There's so many substances that you can be addicted to. So they have these maybe not literal metal cages, but they have these cages that they're in. Other people feel like they're stuck in anger or non-forgiveness or bitterness or resentment. That can be like a cage. Other people feel trapped by bad habits. Some people feel like they're enslaved to loneliness or to depression or to other emotional type things. And then, of course, when it comes to being in cages, many people talk about being bound by fear, by negativity. I talked about that last night, by worry and about doubts. So there's all kinds of different things in the human condition. And I want to ask you a question. Is there an area, maybe more than one area, where you feel stuck or encaged or bound or enslaved here tonight? Well, if there is, I'm proclaiming the gospel that if the Son set you free, and he has, if the Son set you free, you will be free indeed. A lot of people are stuck in guilt, and I'll talk about that in a little while. Guilt, condemnation. Father, I know that God has forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself. That's slavery. God wants us to be free and to walk in the freedom and dignity of the children of God. So if there is an area of where you feel stuck, I want you to know that tonight you can experience freedom. And I want you to really think about it. Am I stuck in a different area? I want you to know that, at least in my heart, and it's probably the same with you too, freedom is in our blood. It's in our genes. It's in our DNA. We don't want to be constricted or bound to anyone or anything. We love freedom. We live in a country of freedom. We were made for freedom. And, for example, I think about where I came from, you know, in Massachusetts. We had the Revolutionary War there. Remember the Boston Tea Party and everything, and the freedom fighters? You know, we don't put up with being enslaved to any country. We were made for freedom. Now, remember one of the patriots, you probably read about this in your history class, he was called Patrick Henry. Well, Patrick Henry had a lot of determination, and a lot of, I like to call it, holy audacity. And he said, Patrick Henry did, he said, give me liberty or give me death. And you know what? To be free, you have to have that holy audacity, that holy determination that says, I am sick and tired of being bound. I don't want to be enslaved to anything or anybody. Give me liberty or give me death. And then, you know, where I come from in Massachusetts, just north of us, we have New Hampshire. And there's the license plate of New Hampshire. I don't know if you've ever seen it. They have that motto on there, live free or die. So that's where I come from. And we're all members of the United States. You know, in the United States, we're citizens. We're citizens of a place of freedom. You know, right now, our borders are under attack, not just by terrorists, but I'm talking about by immigrants that are coming in, and they're swelling our borders, coming in legally and illegally, because they're tired of being oppressed. They want freedom. And they're coming to the United States in unprecedented numbers because they want to be free. You can't blame them. Most of us were born here by the grace of God. But imagine being born in another country that has all this oppression and all this enslavement. Yeah, I would do anything I could, live free or die. And they are dying to get here, literally. Well, if you ever come in legally, if you come into New York, and I was just there last week, you will see one of the greatest symbols of freedom that there is, right there in the New York Harbor, Lady Liberty. And then a little while down the river, right on the site of 911, there was a building that was just built. It's called the Freedom Tower. I saw it flying into LaGuardia. The Freedom Tower, built over the site where the terrorists tried to disrupt and take away our freedom unsuccessfully. And so we built a building called the Freedom Tower right over that site of 911. And it's interesting, if you know anything about it, it's built 1,776 feet high. Well, what's that symbolic for? The Declaration of Independence that was signed July 4th, 1776, that guarantees us the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Bill of Rights, freedom of religion. Just think, you know, oftentimes we don't even think about it. To be able to drive here to church tonight, park in this parking lot, come in here. We don't have to worry about men and soldiers coming in here with guns trying to kill us because we live in a free country. Freedom of religion. Freedom to bear arms. Freedom of press. All these freedoms that we take. So what I'm saying is, it's in our DNA. It's in our blood. God created us with free will. But let me say something that you might not have thought about, that I've reflected upon. And that's the fact that freedom isn't free. And what do I mean by that? Freedom isn't free. There is a cost to freedom. There's a price to freedom. Some of you are veterans, men and women here. I applaud you. I thank you. It's because of you that we are free. And the price of freedom, of course, is blood. It's suffering. It's brokenness. I remember I went to Washington, D.C., and I came upon this big wall. It was the Vietnam Memorial. If you've ever been there, it's a big marble wall that extends for yards and yards in each direction. I don't know. It seems like a half a mile or so. And in that marble wall are etched all these different names, thousands of names of people that died in the Vietnam War so that we could be free. And then I went a little further. I went to the Arlington National Cemetery and I saw all those crosses, rows and rows of crosses everywhere. These are people who died in the Korean War, World War I, World War II, thousands of people everywhere. You see, freedom isn't free. There's a price to be paid. That price is blood. And then what about the wounded warriors? All these people who have lost limbs or other parts of their body or even their minds. POWs who have been held. You see, freedom isn't free. There's a cost to freedom. And I think you know where I'm about to go. Freedom isn't free. There's a cost to freedom. And it's blood. And I want to tell you that Jesus died on the cross for you and me. We know that, to save us, to bring us to heaven. But his blood was shed so that we could be free. So that we didn't have to be bound or enslaved to anything. We just had in the daily Mass readings yesterday and today. For freedom, Christ has set us free. And so, I love that saying that he paid a debt that he did not owe, and we owe a debt that we could not pay. See, Jesus died on the cross so that we could be free, so that we could walk in freedom, know freedom, and be free. So let's talk about this freedom. The price has been paid. I want you to get this. He died for you and for me, just like our veterans have for us, so that we could walk in the freedom that we're walking in this country. Same thing religiously, so that we don't have to be bound by guilt or shame or condemnation, stuck in anger, stuck in addictions. There's a power there now for us to be free. And I don't want you to be enslaved to anything. I want you to walk in the freedom of the children of God. That was the great desire of the scripture writers. Of course, you know, freedom's all over the place in the Bible. All you have to do is go to the Old Testament. They're bound in Egypt. And God did all these miracles. Let my people go so that they could walk in freedom. It's the same God that we have. You know, maybe it's not Egypt, or maybe it's not a cage in an animal shop or a pet store. But like I said, it's all these different things that try to enslave us. And I want to tell you that you are free, and I want you to realize your freedom. I heard about an experiment that psychologists did, and it had to do with fish. There was a barracuda, which is a very aggressive fish with big teeth, and a Spanish mackerel, which is a smaller fish. The Spanish mackerel is the food for the barracuda, and the barracuda is the archenemy of the Spanish mackerel. They put them in a big aquarium, but before they did that, they put a clear plexiglass plate right down the middle. And so they put the Spanish mackerel on one side, the barracuda on the other side. As soon as the barracuda gets in there and sees that Spanish mackerel, what do you think he did? He started going after it. And he goes to try to get it to eat it. He ran into the clear plexiglass plate that he couldn't see. Then he swam around a little bit, and the psychologists are watching, then tried it again. Almost busted his nose. Next day, the same thing happened. Gave it a little time, then he looked again, and he went after it. Hit himself in the nose. Hit himself in the nose again. A couple days later, the psychologist took the clear plexiglass plate, and they removed it. And do you know that that barracuda didn't attack the Spanish mackerel? He was free to. There was nothing in the way. But he stayed right where he was, on this side of the tank. Why did he do that? Because he was conditioned by his past. Because of his past hurts, he stayed stuck. He stayed frozen. He stayed in slavery, if you will. Even though he was free to go anywhere he wanted, he could have had a delicious meal. But because of his past hurts, and do you hear this, people of God? Because of our past, because of how we've been conditioned, because of some of the things that have happened to us, we stay stuck. In guilt, in fear, in addictions, in all these different stuff, when the plexiglass has been removed. Or, as I like to say it, when Jesus died on the cross, did you hear this from the Bible? The veil has been torn. So in other words, there's this new openness, this new freedom now for us to go to the other side. So we don't have to stay stuck in any area of our life and to move forward. And so through the cross, the price has been paid, there's a new power now to move. There's an anointing to go forward so that we don't have to stay stuck on one side of the tank or in our life or in any emotion or in any addiction. There's freedom. For freedom, Christ has set us free. And you can move forward. I remember when I was living in Sacramento, I used to live in California. We have a retreat center there too. And Sacramento, as you know, is the capital of California. So on the Capitol steps one time, they had a pro-life rally. I'd never been to one before, so I decided to go. I went to this pro-life rally, first time ever. And there was probably a couple hundred people gathered, and they had some speakers. And this one woman gets up, and she gets up in front of all the people, holding babies and roses and different things. Very peaceful crowd. right there at the, it was the anniversary of Roe v. Wade in January. And as they're standing there watching, this woman gets up on that mic, I couldn't believe it. She said in front of all those people that she had had an abortion. And she talked about the guilt and the shame and the condemnation. She felt like a monster, how she could have ever done that. Then the next woman gets up and says the same thing. And I'm thinking to myself, I think you got the wrong crowd. This is a pro-life crowd, and you're saying that you've had an abortion. Wow, how can you do that? You know, how can you have the courage to stand in front of those people and say that? And then the third one, I'll never forget, she gets up there and says she had had two abortions. She was the last speaker. And then here's what I want to tell you. Every one of those women talked about the guilt and the shame and the condemnation and how they felt stuck. They beat themselves up. They hated themselves. They rejected themselves. And every one of them talked about how they came to Jesus. They gave him their heart, received forgiveness, and freedom. See, a lot of people say, as I said before, Father, I know God forgives me, but I can't forgive myself. Well, yes, you can. Why? Because the plexiglass has been removed, the veil has been torn, the price has been paid. You are now free. You don't have to live in guilt and condemnation, beating yourself up for something you did in the past, thinking that if you beat yourself up enough, then maybe God will have mercy on you when you die. No, 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 that's not how it works. The way it works is through the blood of Christ, we are forgiven and set free. By the blood of Christ, we have the power to overcome the addictions, the bad habits, the places where we're stuck. You don't have to stay on that side of the tank anymore. Everything's been done for you now. Freedom isn't free, but the price has been paid. And I'm simply saying tonight, I want you to realize the freedom that you have. That's half the battle, just realizing it. And I told you that I like animals. I love animals, as a matter of fact. Cats, dogs, birds, I love them all. But, you know, as a religious, they won't let us have animals. I'd love to have a little cat or a dog. In fact, I tried to adopt one in Sacramento, then they moved me, and, you know, it was really hard. I was going to move the cat with me to Houston, but that didn't work out. So they continued to feed the cat at the retreat center after I left. Well, I can't have a cat or a dog or anything, but here's what happened to me. About a year ago, I'm standing there by the windowsill in my house in Houston, and I look there, and there's a spider in the windowsill. So I did what you did. I don't like spiders. So I get a paper towel, and I go over to the thing, and I'm going to crush it, right? And I'm just about to put the thing to its happy home. And I look at it, and it's just this little teeny itsy-bitsy spider. And I look at it and go, you know, it's not hurting anything. Don't kill the spider. So I did. Not only did I not kill the spider, I adopted it as my pet. And I did this. I named the spider. His name is Spy. Spy the Spider. Real creative, I know. Well, anyway, have you ever walked and, you know, you're outside walking, maybe near a tree, and you get a spider web in your hair? You ever try to get that out? It's like, eee, it's all sticky and everything. You ever see a fly in a spider's web? It gets in there and it's like stuck and it tries to fly and it can't because the spider web is real sticky. Did you ever think, why doesn't the spider get stuck in the web? And the truth is, the spider secretes a special oil onto the web that enables it to glide easily and to play in the web and to go anywhere that it wants. See, the spider's free because, don't you understand, one of the great symbols of the Holy Spirit is oil? And that you've been anointed with a special oil so that you don't have to stay stuck, so that you can walk in freedom. So that you don't have to be a slave and a captive to gossip or anger or resentment or bitterness or addictions or guilt or fear or negativity or all the stuff that makes us human. You are anointed. There's power. There's grace for you. So what am I talking about tonight? If you're taking notes, it's simply this. In order to change, in order to be free, number one, you have to rely upon the grace that is yours at the cross. Jesus paid the price, so there's a new freedom. The veil's been torn, the glass is removed, you're free. Number two, you have to have a holy determination. Remember Patrick Henry, that holy audacity That determination, that resolve, if you will, Jesus said, the violent are taking the kingdom of heaven by violence. And that's what he meant. There's got to be some passion in you. Some passion to want to change. Some passion to want to go forward. Some determination. Give me liberty or give me death or else nothing's going to happen. It's like, all right, Jesus set everybody free, but look at how addicted the world is. So there must be that holy audacity, that determination. I pray that that's in you right now because I hope you're thinking about what your areas are and where you need to be free. I hope you are by now. I hope the Holy Spirit's moving in your midst because the Holy Spirit wants to change us, to make us holy. So there has to be that in order to change. Otherwise, you're just going to stay stuck. You're anointed to be free. You don't have to be stuck in the web or stuck on that side of the tank. You're anointed. The power's there. There's got to be some determination. You know, I've done some work with the 12-step program. 12-step program, Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Drugs Anonymous. We have it at our retreat center. Every day, men and women come and they meet there. And there's a phrase that they use, the 12 steps, that is so important for us here tonight, whether you're Catholic or not, it's really important. But if you're Catholic, you'll know this, the examination of conscience. And the phrase that they use is, you must be, in order to change, you must be rigorously honest with yourself. I like that. Rigorously honest. The truth will set you free, Jesus said. The truth about yourself. Rigorously honest. Then secondly, you must admit, that's the opposite of denial, admit that there's a problem somewhere. Whatever it is, anger, addiction, bad habits, resentment, fear, negativity. See, this is that holy audacity I'm talking about. Give me liberty or give me death. Okay, I'm going to look at my heart. I'm going to quit running. I'm going to face my problems. This is how I'm going to change. Power's there. The anointing's there. But you got to do it. And then the third step, of course, this is crucial now. Surrender. Not just surrender, but surrender to God. Because God's got the power. God's got the anointing. God's got the strength to set us free. Or to help us now, as you heard, you are free, to walk in freedom. Because if the Son sets you free, and he has, then you will be free indeed. So that's what I want here tonight. That's what I'm after. And I believe that that's what God's after. And that's why he's called you here. You probably came here saying, boy, this has got to be the night for me. It's the night. Today's the day. If today you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your heart. So there's freedom in the house. And let me just go an extra step here. Rigorously honest, admit your problem, surrender to God, and then you must go the extra step. Those of you who go to confession, don't think that that's a magical formula that says, okay, now I'm free from my addictions because I went to confession. No, something else has to happen. When you leave here, you've got to have that holy audacity, that determination to perhaps go to an addictions counselor, to go to a 12-step meeting, or if it isn't an addiction, to learn about what you have. If you have anger, or resentment, non-forgiveness, read about it. Learn about it. You're not going to be free unless you apply yourself. And so you read some good books about codependency or anger or non-forgiveness or negativity. And so that's how you get free. You walk in freedom. So for many of you tonight, confession is going to be a major step for you. Go to confession. We'll celebrate your freedom. We'll celebrate the fact that you are forgiveness. You lay your burdens down. But then you got to do some work when you leave here. You can't just fall back into the stuff, because remember, don't be like that barracuda. It's been removed. So now, for freedom, Christ has set us free. If the Son set you free, you're free indeed. I think surrender is such a crucial step in this whole process. What do I talk about? Power of God, holy determination, and surrender. Surrender to God. You probably heard about Ignatius of Loyola, the great founder of the Jesuits. As a young man, he was going to be a military leader. He was in control of his life. He wanted to be a great military leader. He's out there fighting for the King of Spain. French cannonball comes, almost blows his leg off. Now there he is in the hospital, recuperating. And he says that God was calling him to something different, not to be a military leader, but to be a priest. And you know what he did? He surrendered. He prayed a prayer called, "Take, Lord, receive." You've heard it. "Take, Lord, receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, my entire will. You have given all to me, and I return it. Give me only your love and your grace. That's enough for me." Wow. What a prayer. He surrendered his liberty that we oftentimes abuse, and that's how we get into addictions. He surrendered that liberty to God. As you know, he became a great priest, founder of the Jesuits. We won't hold that against him. And as you know, the Pope is a Jesuit. So how things have changed through this man's surrender, and how things can change through your surrender. I gave you those sheets. I'm going to ask you to stand up now. We're going to pray.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.